Chapter 2. Coda. Timoteo doesn't find about the Vadia's new cloud officer until after the first damages reports hits his desk. Or, more accurately, Tsunayoshi's desk, since he's summering in Italy, at Reborn's insistence to learn the ins and outs of the family. Timoteo is amenable to this, even if Tsuna is a little young. Then again, Reborn is his teacher, and that makes him the exception to every rule. His first hint that something of note has happened is Tsuna's loud and horrified yelp as he drops a thick, stapled sheaf of papers like it's about to bite him. Lifting his head, he blinks at Tsuna, who stares at the report with something akin to horror. "Something wrong, my boy?" he asks affably. Tsuna very visibly marshals himself, likely because Reborn threatened, promised, to drop by sometime after lunch, and carefully flips past the first page. Xanthus wants money? It's a funds request for the south wing of the Vadia Mansion. Well, Timoteo thinks, more or less amiably, at least the Vadia didn't level a small town. Again. After he warned them they'd be rebuilding the next one by hand, they miraculously managed to understand the phrase minimum of collateral damage preferred. It might be fairly optimistic of him, but Timoteo is counting it as his birthday present from Xanthus. Oh, are they remodeling? Tsuna turns to the next page and blanches chalk white.
Rebuilding it,
he stutters. Timoteo freezes. Come again? The boy doesn't quite squeak, which is an improvement over the first week he was here. He does read, with a little more alacrity, though.
They need a new south wing, he says weakly. And half of a new entrance hall? It was, Belphegor, and...
He blinks at the other name, clearly startled. And that's a very faint narrowing of his eyes. It's the look of a boss assessing a threat, Timoteo thinks almost fondly. Good. Tsuna's learning, even if he did get a light start of it.
It says cloud officer, but I thought Golomoska was destroyed by Hibari?
And if the Hibari boy didn't finish it, the CEDEF certainly did, Timoteo thinks, losing a good portion of his humor to suspicion. When he sent Squallow away with the idea of hiring a cloud officer who was a little more human than a machine that fed off of life force, he'd expected it to go the way most of his suggestions come orders tended to with the Vadia. Xanthus ignores him for several months, or even years. Timoteo keeps hinting at a beneficial course of action. Nothing gets done, and eventually things blow up in the Vadia's faces, and Xanthus pretends the suggestion come order was actually his own idea all along, and finally does it. It is less, Timoteo thinks a touch wearily, like having a son, and more like having a very large cat. It was, he tells Tsuna absently, trying to decide on the best course of action. No name given. When Tsuna shakes his head, he sighs a little, because of course it wouldn't be that simple. If he goes in person, Xanthus will take offense, and he's only just begun the most tentative of bridge-building between them. Better not risk it. What a fortunate coincidence, he says, making it cheerful, and can pinpoint the exact moment. Tsuna's hyper-intuition warns him what's coming. You've been cooped up in here far too long, my boy. It's about time you took a bit of a trip. You'll need Xanthus's signature on these. He drags out the all-too-familiar stack of paperwork and drops it in the middle of Tsuna's desk. Or, barring that, have Squallow forge it. Belphegor and the cloud officer will need to sign as well on forms 1 through 12. Tsuna stares at the mountain of paperwork with clear horror, opens his mouth to try for a refusal, and breaks off with a screech as Reborn drops from the ceiling fan and lands on his head.
A field trip, Dame Tsuna, he says with familiar malicious cheer. Aren't you excited to see the beauties of Italy and learn more about the Familia?
I'm going to die, Tsuna wails, But when Reborn kicks him in the head, he groans, collects the stack, and offers Timoteo a tremulous smile. Timoteo smiles back and silently wishes him luck. It's not easy to be one of the few people on the planet with any measure of Xanthus's respect. Hopefully, Tsuna will come to appreciate the position the way Timoteo himself failed to.
Tsuna would rather go through Reborn's hell torture all over again than do this. He would rather do literally anything than this. But Reborn is still far too terrifying, and Tsuna is still horrible at saying no. So he pulls himself out of the big, intimidating black car in front of the Varia headquarters and hopes they throw a nice funeral for him. Kokudera will probably cry. Ryohei will probably cry too, honestly, but that's somehow less worrying. Since Kokudera crying is usually accompanied by Yamamoto attempting to comfort him, which is usually accompanied by dynamite. Tsuna doesn't really want his funeral interrupted by dynamite.
Hey, this place isn't so bad,
Yamamoto says cheerfully, dragging Tsuna out of terrifyingly vivid daydreams, daymares, of his casket being launched into the stratosphere by Gokudera's misaimed explosives, with Reborn dressed in a priest outfit, waving a solemnly sadistic goodbye. Tsuna looks for himself, because he's learned by now not to trust anything that comes out of Yamamoto's mouth. Ever. And if one ignores the conspicuous absence where a good quarter of the house used to be, Yamamoto is mostly correct. It's a stately old mansion in the middle of the countryside, surrounded by forests and fields. The visibly aggravated squallow waiting for them in front of what used to be the front steps rather takes away from the image.
What are you doing here, runt?
He demands, scowling suspiciously at Tsuna, in a way that makes Tsuna want to hide behind the nearest solid object.
Hey, squallow!
Yamamoto says, waving enthusiastically, like he's greeting an old friend. How are you? Squallow gives him a sour look.
I wasn't talking to you, brat. What the hell does the usurper want with us?
Tsuna thinks about protesting the title, because it's not like he's a willing part of all of this at all, but gives it up as a lost cause.
No sent me, he says, and kind of wants to die at the way he stutters. Paperwork?
If anything, Squallow's expression gets worse, but he sighs and waves a hand in surrender, turning to stride back into the mansion.
Fuck, whatever. Anything that'll make you get that pathetic expression of yours away faster. My office is upstairs.
Tsuna doesn't bother asking for Xanthus. If Squallow is willing to sign, and the way Timoteo said it makes Tsuna wonder if Xanthus has ever done his own paperwork, he's not about to argue.
Who's your new cloud officer?
Yamamoto asks cheerfully, because of course he does. Tsuna quietly has a minor panic attack, but Squallow just rolls his eyes.
Is that why the old man sent you?
He scoffs. Figures. The one time Xanthus doesn't completely blow him off, he acts like the fucking world is ending. Tsuna isn't entirely sure he'd phrase it like that, but he's not going to argue that point either. He ignores the way Yamamoto is laughing. Better for his sanity that way, and darts up the stairs at Squallow's heels before Levi, just emerging from his room at the end of the hall, has a chance to see him.
Everyone involved has to sign too, he says, more apologetically than he'd like.
Fuck, Squallow says, but since it sounds more like fuck me than it does fuck you, Tsuna manages not to flinch. He pauses, expression twisting like he's eaten something bad, and repeats,
fuck.
Something wrong? Yamamoto asks brightly, but his eyes have sharpened in that particularly unnerving way they do sometimes. The one time Tsuna tried to mention it, Yamamoto just laughed a little, scratched the back of his head, and asked,
oh, like your eyes do, Tsuna?
Tsuna had dropped the subject quickly after that. Squallow obligingly turns his scowl on the other swordsman.
Fuck you, I'm just strategizing.
He groans, fisting his hands in his long hair and pulling. goddamn shitty boss and his goddamn shitty fucking taste. Tsuna's hyper-intuition is low-key screaming in the back of his head. That's never a good sign. Yamamoto must feel it too, because he takes 3 steps forward and 1 to the side, putting himself halfway in front of Tsuna without even seeming to think about it. Something wrong with your boss, then? Squallow flips him off, and then turns on his heel and stomps towards the 3rd door on the left. He throws it open with a loud, "Voy! Where the fuck is that idiot prince? And where's the bloodthirsty brat?" She, there aren't any idiot princes here, Belle says, sprawled out across a couch with a book covering his face. Only idiot swordsmen. Voy, you shitty bastard!
Where do you think my little moon child is? Lusuria asks, giggling far too happily for Tsuna's comfort.
He notices Tsuna and Yamamoto peering around Squallow and brightens.
Oh my, did you bring that heartthrob of a boxer with you? I'm aching for another rematch with him.
A fluttery wink.
And then maybe some one-on-one time afterwards, if you know what I mean.
Tsuna makes a mental note to keep Uriohe as far away from the Varya as humanly possible, even as he smiles weakly.
Sorry, only Yamamoto this time. Belphegor, can you...
Before he can finish, Squallow yanks the briefcase out of his hand, stalks over, rips it open, and shoves the appropriate forms in Bell's face. Fucking sign it, asshole! You know where!
Bell scowls, but takes the papers and the pen Squallow practically shoves up his nose.
Paperwork is for peasants. Paperwork is for anyone who fucking destroys half of headquarters! Squallow bellows at him. Fucking sign it before I make you do it in blood!
Looking incredibly put upon, Bell starts signing. Tsuna sort of half wonders if they could clone Squallow, because if he can control the Varya, the rest of the Mafia world would probably be a piece of cake.
Except then they'd have to clone Xansas too, because there's no way to picture Squallow without Xansas, and...
One Xansas is already too many, in Tsuna's opinion.
As if in answer to that thought, there's a roar from down the hall, full of familiar rage, and Tsuna twitches hard, turning and expecting to see Xansas bearing down on him, guns drawn. Instead, however, there's a snarl fit to match Xansas's, and the sound of a door slamming open with enough force to crack the plaster. Xansas's flames of wrath flare, heavy enough to send a tremor of primal terror down Tsuna's spine, and there's a sound like a body being slammed full force into a wall.
Again?
Squallow demands, sounding like he's on the verge of tearing his hair right out of his head. Goddamn, really?
I think it's adorable,
Lusuria coos, clasping his hands next to his cheek.
Young, if you say love, I'm going to gag,
Squallow threatens. Where the fuck is Mammon? We're going to need another illusion before those shitheads traumatize the entire Varya. Before Lusuria can answer, there's the sound of steps, quick, light, and almost soundless in the way of Hibari's. Half a second later, a young man Xansas's age stalks into the room, dark hair looking like he just rolled out of bed, wearing a white shirt meant for someone 2 sizes larger than him, and a pair of pants. The scars on his face make Tsuna pale, and the look in his remaining eye is deadly enough that Yamamoto actually grabs Tsuna and pulls him back behind the swordsman's body. The Cloud Officer, Tsuna assumes, feeling a little faint with terror.
Are those hickeys?
Lusuria squeals delightedly.
Oh, you naughty boy!
The Cloud Officer gives him a dark look, but when the martial artist grabs him, he doesn't resist. Just lets Lusuria tip his head up and to the side to get a better look.
I am going to kill him, he says to Squallow, and that's an accent Tsuna hasn't heard outside of his guardian since he left Japan.
Want to fucking repeat that? Xansas growls, stalking in behind him. He spares a disdainful look for Tsuna, which is still more than he would have given him before the ring battles. Not that Tsuna is happy about that. Before throwing himself into the throne-like chair that's clearly his. He is, at least, more thoroughly dressed than the stranger, though his clothes are as disheveled as ever. Bastard! The cloud officer spits. His black eye shifts with an almost dizzying twist, becoming a red and black pinwheel that spins lazily. And the pale violet of his flames color the air around him. But at least he doesn't attempt to go through Lusuria to get to Xansus. Xansus gives him a grin that's all teeth and no humor. Yeah, probably. If Tsuna didn't know better, he'd swear Xansus just made a joke about his parentage. And judging by the dumbfounded look on Bell's face as he drops the pen, he wasn't the only one who heard it. To his utter surprise, the stranger snorts, amusement curling one corner of his mouth. He bats Lusuria away, though not rudely, and takes a step back to turn and study Tsuna. Yamamoto is dismissed with one long glance, but his eye narrows the moment it lands on Tsuna's face, fills with a strange sort of recognition and nostalgia. "Vongola decimo," he says, more or less politely, and ignores the scoff Xansus gives. "Sawada Tsunayoshi, pleased to meet you," Tsuna blurts, accidentally in Japanese, and bows automatically. To his shock, the cloud officer bows back and says in the same language, "Uchiha Obito, it's an honor." "You give him a family name, but not me?" Xansus grunts. And he's frowning faintly in a way that makes Tsuna's sense of self-preservation gibber quietly in the back of his mind. "He's not an asshole bastard like you," Obito retorts, turning a poisonous stare on the body of Boss. In a rush, Squallow snatches the papers from Bell, snarls, "Boy, don't you idiots dare!" and dives like he knows they're not going to listen to him. And, in a whirl of air, Obito vanishes completely, just as a shot from one of Xansus's pistols slams into the floor. "They look like they're having fun, don't they?" Yamamoto asks cheerfully, even as he herds Tsuna back towards the door. At the same moment, Obito reappears out of nothing right above Xansus, stabbing down at him with what looks like a kunai. Xansus twists aside, letting it clang off the metal of his chair, and in the same movement, he grabs Obito by the arm and drags him up. Tsuna nearly trips over his own feet with a yelp. Xansus and Obito are kissing, vicious like they're about to draw blood, and entirely unconcerned by the sudden retreat of all the present Vadia members. Squallow is the last out, dragging Lusuria by his green-dyed hair, and he slams the door pointedly behind him. "Good riddance!" he shouts back through the wood. But if it makes any impact at all, Tsuna certainly can't tell. What? Tsuna asks weakly, still trying to figure out what he saw. This time, Squallow's grimace is entirely agreement. "Believe me, Shrimp, I feel the same fucking way. Come on, I can make up a signature for that idiot ninja, too." That, Tsuna thinks, is probably the best idea he's heard all day. He hurries to follow the second in command, very carefully ignoring the noises coming from the room behind them. There's lots of things he doesn't need to know about, and that's at the very top. The end. We'll be right back.
The music used in this podfic is Sinister Kid by The Black Keys, which is also where the title comes from. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!